We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. Beautiful Tuesday, by the way. Hopefully you're out there enjoying the sun a little bit, or you'll be able to today. Going to be even nicer tomorrow, Randy.
Yeah.
Almost 70 degrees tomorrow.
All right.
Love that.
We're going in the right direction, Andy.
We're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, that's what
absolutely.
We're going in the right
direction. You get to 70 by the end of February, that's beautiful.
That's all right. You're doing some good things, man, if you can get there.
Yeah, we got some good things coming your way in the 11 o'clock hour as well. The Wendy Zone coming up at 11:40 as always. And Wendy will do this most days where she'll sort of text us the tease for what's coming up in the Wendy Zone. Today's is just excellent. Wendy will be portraying Danica Patrick at 11:40. I don't really know what that means. But
salty?
I'm not sure. But it sounds like fun. So Wendy's going to be Danica Patrick coming up at 11:40. Steve Wyche from the NFL Network is going to join us at 11:20. Long time NFL reporter, worked here in Atlanta for a long time. We were listening to him and Jim Trotter last week as they interviewed Fontenot on their Hustle and Flow or Huddle and Flow podcast. So we'll chat with him about the Falcons and all things NFL coming up. And speaking of Terry Fontenot, he'll be on with Dukes and Bell this afternoon at 3 o'clock as well.
Yes.
So tune in to hear the new Falcons general manager.
See if Mike and them could get something out of him.
Yeah, I know. I think because you have to think they probably heard. I know they heard our interview because they played it on the show. I would imagine they probably heard the Huddle and Flow interview well.
Right.
And you know we all kind of were trying to get the same stuff. You know, trying to achieve the same goal of getting him to admit something. You know, the crazy thing is we didn't mention this last week. Fontenot and some of the other Falcons front office people did a Q&A with some season ticket holders.
Uh-huh.
And one of the season ticket holders might have got the best answer out of him of anybody. He asked him, I don't remember what it was about, but it was just like a general roster building question. And he answered it directly about like what his philosophy. And I was like, damn it. Some season ticket holder got better answers than us.
Dang. Hey, man, don't worry about it, dude. I mean, because they're giving out their loot, so I'm pretty sure they went in there and said, okay, we got to give them something. They
paid for the answers.
Yeah man, because, you know, them season tickets, man, the thing's a grip, man.
Well, you got a PSL as well.
Personal seat. I mean, I love my – that's just a lot of love for your team, man.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of bread, man. That's a lot of bread, you know. But, yeah, great show you all tuned into it. It should be fun, as always. And, so I'm looking forward to talking to Steve because we were talking this morning. I was curious because I've been hearing this the last few days about franchise players, franchise them and do like a sign and trade. And I'm just like, now that start happening in the NFL.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. That's not something that I recall hearing about very often. I think this is just going to be one of the really weird off seasons that we've had in the NFL with all these quarterbacks moving. I think the record for a season that had more starting quarterbacks that were different than the starting quarterback the year before was in like 1999. I think there was 18 different starters on teams in 99 than there were in 98. And there was only 30 teams in the league back then. So more than half the teams had a different starting quarterback that year. I don't know if we're going to get that many this year, but there's going to be a lot, not to mention a lot of these big name guys taking 1 year deals because of the salary cap situation. And like you said, sign and trades. That's an NBA thing. Remember sign and trades in the NFL.
That's just throwing me off, bro.
We'll talk to you about all that coming up in 20 minutes. Let's get to an NFL No Huddle.
We're going No Huddle.
With the midday show No Huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go!
Brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep watching R.S. Andrews Precision Furnace Tune-Up, another way they make you smile. We'll start here with Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN. talking about another quarterback that is very likely to go in the top 10.
Mac Jones, University of Alabama, his floor is not the Carolina Panthers. Go back to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Matt Rhule loved him. It's no secret they're looking for a quarterback. So Mac Jones' floor in this year's draft is number 8. A lot of speculation about New England. If New England, Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, if they have conversations and that goes well, New England's going to have to get above 8 to go get Mac Jones.
That's interesting, Randy, because we already at least assume, I don't know if anything is guaranteed, but I think we pretty well assume that there's going to be Trevor Lawrence, there's going to be Zach Wilson, there's going to be Justin Fields, and there's going to be Trey Lance that are going to go in the top 8 as well. So right. Add Mac Jones to it. You're telling me 5 quarterbacks are going in the top 8?
I mean, shoot. Mac Jones, his stock is rising, man.
Yeah.
It really is, man. And, you know, you look at, and I heard somebody say this, and they're so right, like, the one-year starter who has no adversity in that one major year starting, it kind of throws you off a little bit, especially when you have the year that he had. But you can go back to Joe Burrow, what he did, and Joe looked like he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. I mean, Mac Jones is – I think he's more athletic than people give him. I think the one thing that people – when you look at Mac Jones, you look at his body, and he's a doughy looking dude. Very doughy. Very doughy.
Is he? Yeah. Yeah, I saw him with his shirt off.
Yeah, very doughy. Yeah.
Kind of, you know, like Tom Brady at the combine.
Yeah, but the one thing about him is that he's smart. Uh-huh. He understands, you know, concepts and all those things. A lot of people think he's going to blow you away on the whiteboard and everything. So, and we always know quarterbacks a lot of times are overdrafted. So I think you could put him in there, and, you know, some people have him right ahead of Justin Fields, behind Trey Lance, all these things. And we always want to throw it to – the game is becoming a place where you need a more mobile quarterback and everything, and the days of the statuous quarterback is coming to an end, even though one just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, he wins the Super Bowl like every other year. So, yeah, so I mean, I understand people's thought process because there's a lot of good young mobile quarterbacks, but the statue – he's got 7 of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think it all depends on how you build your offense around him. Now, the Patriots being interested in Mac Jones is interesting as well, because obviously that would mean they'd have to trade up and get there. Mm-hmm. There was a report yesterday from Jeff Howe, one of the local media members up there in Boston from The Athletic, saying that the Patriots are active in looking for their next quarterback, which, I mean, right, they should be.
They don't have one.
They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Cam Newton, I guess, made his case yesterday on a podcast appearance for going back to New England. We'll let you hear more from Cam Newton coming up at the top of the noon hour. They got into a lot of interesting topics on that podcast. But yeah, I mean, they should be interested. A lot of teams need to be interested in quarterbacks because there's a lot of teams that don't have them. And here's the thing. If it gets back to that Twitter question that we had for Falcons fans yesterday, if the Falcons aren't looking to draft a quarterback at number 4, the fact that there could be 5 quarterbacks drafted in the top 8 is great news for the Falcons, because that just makes that number 4 pick even more valuable.
Exactly.
And I really liked a lot of the responses that we got yesterday, too, because we just said prioritize your position groups. And so many people were talking about the defensive line, like you and I were talking about yesterday, Randy. A lot of people mentioned offensive line, which I'm totally okay with as well, and even understand the idea of Penny Sewell from Oregon being there at number 4. It seems like we've all been burned by the Falcons' inability to get anything done in the trenches for the last handful of years.
Right.
And Falcons fans just want that dealt with. And I agree 100%.
And I understand that. And the one thing is that you're paying Jake Matthews, your left tackle, a premium price for left tackle.
Yeah.
And I know people say, just move Jake into guard. And it's not as easy as just moving him into guard. You know, it's just not. It's just not that simple. And so that goes back to, do you move on from Jake? But I mean, you're still going to have that hole, you know. So they got to fortify that offensive line. They just got to get better in both trenches. That's why I said my first was O-line, D-line. They got to get those parts of this, especially when you look at the mentality of what your head coach wants his team's identity to be. Physical run the ball, play action type team. That's what Arthur Smith wants. And in order to get that, you got to have physical linemen up front. And now the play action, it helps linemen who aren't as elite as others. It helps out because it gives you that option to fire off on the football, and it also helps you in pass pro.
Yeah.
So they got to get that part fixed. But, yeah, they got to get these trenches fixed, man. They got to get another D lineman inside for Grady, and they got to get somebody outside of Grady. And, I mean, until they figure all that out, they can't win a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get those right. Of course, they need another corner. They're opposite of A.J. Terrell. And of course, you need a running back.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what else helps play action?
Yeah.
Is a running back that defenses are actually afraid of. So wouldn't mind if the Falcons address that in the draft as well. And look, if they can trade back out of four and accumulate a couple extra draft picks, maybe you can draft a running back earlier than some people project. Here's Mike Silver from the NFL Network talking about the asking price for Russell Wilson.
Certainly, teams have reached out. What's a realistic price if the Seahawks were to trade Russell Wilson? I think you start with something like 3 first-round draft picks. That's kind of the message that other teams believe, would be conveyed. But, you know, I still think there is a lot of time to get through this rough patch. He's under contract for 3 more years. He's obviously done some incredible things in that city and for that franchise, and the Seahawks certainly know what they have.
I just help me out here, because I feel like I'm maybe misunderstanding this story here.
Okay.
Like, I understand Deshaun Watson being on the trade market conversation. He said he wants out of Houston, right?
Right.
I understood Carson Wentz. I understood Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, all that stuff. Like, Russell Wilson just kind of one time in an interview with Dan Patrick said, like, he'd like to have maybe a little bit more say in the franchise, right? That's what happened. Did he ever say he doesn't want to be on the team anymore?
Never said it, but the reason why this is people are talking about it, because of those names you just mentioned. Because it sounds like he don't want to be there. It sounds like, no, Russ never said it. Russ said anything that most quarterbacks say. I'm tired of getting hit.
Yeah.
Damn it, I want some help. You know, I need somebody to protect me better and all those things. So, but you remember I did say this a couple months ago. I said, just look out for this relationship right here. And mainly because of the fact is how Pete wants his team to be run and how Russ thinks the team should be run.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about offensively.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Pete wants to go back to how we did it, and it was successful. But that's because your quarterback was still young. Now your quarterback is a veteran. He's one of the best players in the National Football League at his position, and he wants to showcase it more. And so Pete is against that risk-reward type thing. Pete thinks you throw the ball too much, there's a risk for turnovers. There's a risk for sacks, mm-hmm. sack fumbles, things like that. You hand it in the belly of the running back, you take four yards in a cloud of dust, and we move along, and that helps our play action pass. And so that's all that is right there. But, yeah, I just thought it was something if we weren't in the times that we're in now when we're talking about Deshaun Watson and like you said, Carson Wentz and these guys seeing that they're unhappy with the organization. Russ isn't unhappy. Russ just – he wants more say.
Yeah, that's how I read it as well. And look, Mike Silver probably has more insight on it than most people do.
Right.
So the fact that the Seahawks have received calls on it is interesting. Once they start making calls, if they start making calls, then it really gets interesting. And I just don't see that happening. Speaking of Carson Wentz, doesn't sound like Michael Pittman, who wears number 11 for the Colts, is going to give Carson Wentz number 11. Is that that a big deal to you?
I guess. I guess it's a bigger deal because Michael Pittman, you've been in the league 2 damn years, bro.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you've been in the league 2 years. You ain't established nothing. Yeah, you had a nice year, but you ain't established nothing. But Carson Wentz, you know, he fell off a little bit.
Yeah,
so,
what is Carson Wentz established?
What is Carson Wentz established? You know, so I have a situation, and I'm pretty sure it's going to work itself out where Carson Wentz does get the number 11. But, you know, the number thing, it's a different story. I saw that my man Hugh said he wasn't going to Philly if they didn't give a number 53. You know, it's just certain things about certain numbers that guys just feel.
You want to hear Michael Pittman talk about this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am number 11. I don't think that there's any deal that is going to be done. And honestly, like, I wouldn't feel right taking money from somebody over like a football number. So so I'm pretty sure that I'm set in it.
Okay. So there's his explanation for it. Like, you've been in NFL locker rooms before, obviously.
Right.
Is there some sort of alpha hierarchy thing here that has to happen in order for Carson Wentz to, I don't know, walk in there with dominance? If he doesn't get number 11, does that somehow matter inside an NFL lock? Because it seems so stupid to me even be a story.
It does if he makes it a story.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
like if he really wants it and he doesn't
really
get
wants
it, then,
it. Yeah, if he really wants it and doesn't get it, then it'd be a problem.
Okay.
You know, but like I don't know Carson. Carson's biggest concern with moving to Indianapolis is not the number. You know, like
no
I said,
kidding.
The thing about it is that
the 15 interceptions that he threw last year, and the fact that he got benched.
There's no more forgiving place than a football locker room, you know. And there's no more of we'll give you the benefit of doubt, because I'm sure that there's some some homies that are on Indy know guys in Philly, and they give the lowdown on Carson Wentz. And now you don't want to believe that. Of course, you can say, okay, yeah, that's how he was with y'all, but he's going to be different with us until he shows us otherwise.
Yeah.
That's his biggest time to get went over this locker room and all those things instead of worrying about a number.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. It doesn't have to be a big deal unless you make it a big deal. Here's KJ Wright talking about not taking a hometown discount.
No, man, I do way too much on the football field to take a discount. That makes absolutely no sense. Like, if you want to, you know, win all these championships and, you know, look good on Sunday to compensate your guys that are making plays. And like you said earlier, nobody, you know, had double-digit TFLs and PBUs in the NFL. So I have a family, and I'm trying to, you know, set up long, long-term success for family. So that's kind of out of the question.
Yeah, there you go. Perfectly put by KJ Wright.
Yeah.
Why would I?
I would say that. Why the hell am I giving a billionaire a damn discount?
Nobody else around here is taking a discount.
You know what I mean? Like,
what am I taking a discount for?
KJ
By
Wright.
The way, the thing that always makes me laugh about hometown discount, I don't remember who said this. Some football player said this years ago. I'm not from there.
Right.
KJ Wright's from Mississippi.
Yeah.
I'm not from Seattle. This is not hometown discount.
Perfect.
Pay me
perfect,
what I'm worth.
Perfect candidate to be a Patriot.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yep.
He also did have – he was the only player in the NFL last year with multiple – with double-digit tackles for loss and pass breakups as well. He's a pretty versatile linebacker and has been for a really long time. Steve Weiss is going to join us from the NFL Network coming up next. We've got some Falcons questions for him. We also just have some general weird NFL offseason questions. Today's the first day that teams can franchise tag players as well. Steve Weiss is going to join us next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday, 20 minutes away from the Wendy Zone, in which Wendy will be portraying Danica Patrick.
Salty.
I assume. I mean, it must have something to do with the Aaron Rodgers story. I don't know. We'll find out together coming up in 20 minutes. The most important audio in the world coming up at noon as well. I want to keep reminding folks, Terry Fontenot is going to be on with Dukes and Bell this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Our next guest, Steve Weiss from NFL Network, follow him at Weiss89 on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's dealer, had a chance to talk to Terry Fontenot last week in what was a really good conversation on the podcast. Hey, Steve, how are you?
What up, Steve?
Good morning, guys. How's everything going?
Going good.
Going good. Obviously doing what most NFL fan base are doing, kind of looking forward to the draft, looking forward to the offseason, and we've got a new regime here in Atlanta. I want to start with Terry Fontenot. How hard of a job has he walked into here with this Falcons team?
Well, I mean, not as hard as, you know, what Nick Caserio has down in Houston. You know, I don't think, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I don't think this is, you know, hardly a disaster situation. I mean, first off, you've got a good structure in the building, right? From ownership down, he's coming to a good building. He's going to get supported. So that, number one, gives him a head start on a lot of teams. And secondly, I mean, look, you've got to decide what you want to do. Okay, are you going to try to win short term, or are you going to build long term, or are you going to gradually build for the long term while trying to compete right away? Which I think is going to be their path. I think they realize that, you know, I think Matt Ryan's going to still be around. I think they're going to try to compete while they're building and addressing other issues. I don't think they're going to make any knee jerk type of splash decisions. But I think it's going to be kind of, you know, the word, the process. We're probably going to hear that a lot more. But something where they're going to stay competitive, build, draft, and not do anything radical, especially in the first year of Terry Fontenot's administration.
And Steve, I've been trying to, you know, explain the process of trying to win and build at the same time and how difficult it is. And if you're trying to would you rather say win or keep now when you have that number four slot, do you try to go for your signal caller of the future?
You know, this is one of those drafts where I necessarily wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of good quarterbacks here. It's going to be a lot of quarterback movement. I mean, Matt Ryan is still a good player, and I think he's got, you know, a couple years left. Yeah, you may say, okay, we can go ahead at number four and get a Zach Wilson or somebody like that. And he's going to be there when, you know, for when Matt Ryan goes away, and we can cut Matt Ryan next year and get a salary, blah, blah, blah. I think, you know, this is one where you can kind of take a year, maybe even two, to figure it out. I do think at some point a quarterback will be drafted by the by the Falcons. You can ask Trey Fontenot know that in our conversation. It sounds like they are about drafting a quarterback. I just don't think it's going to be at the fourth overall pick. I actually think that that pick is going to be up for sale. And then, you know, it would be in my, just in my thinking, no science. Trey Fontenot's not going to come off of this type of information. But, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to move back just so they can add to some of the positions that they really need to add to. And this is where, again, I think you compete while building. If you can move back and maybe stay in the top 15, acquire another high second-round pick or something like that, then you can get that edge rusher. Then maybe you can build, you know, along that offensive line. When you look at the offenses where Arthur Smith came from, I think offensive and defensive lines are going to be important to building a structure of what they really want to have to be successful. And I'm sure, you know, Matt Ryan would really appreciate that as well.
Steve, we are so on the same page with you in the conversations we've been having the last couple of weeks. It's a little frustrating when you look around the general national media and it just continues to be quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. I guess because you're at number four, that's just the assumption. So say they do trade back. What do you think is the Falcons' biggest need, the thing that they should address in the first round?
No, the biggest need is pass rusher. I mean, come on. It's one of those things where last year, you know, everyone talks about how bad the Falcons secondary was. They were bad because quarterbacks had time to throw the ball, right? Any you could have the Legion of Boom. If a quarterback's got 5 seconds routinely to throw the ball, they're going to pick them apart. So they've got to get an edge rusher. And, you know, is that the player when you're talking about the best overall player? Is that a player you take in the top five? Not quite sure. They don't have the money to go out and get one of these studs is going to be out there in, you know, in free agency. Something that I'm really interested in though, if, when it comes to free agency, is if the Falcons can get their cap right, if they can get someone like a Trey Hendrickson out of New Orleans, you know, Terry Fontenot knows well, a guy coming off a 13.5 sack season. Don't know what his market's going to be because that was the first year he put up those numbers as a full-time starter. But I think he's someone who could be like a Shaq Barrett type, you know, since he plays a lot, you know, he plays super hard, very good against the, I just don't know if they have the money to do that. But, you know, pass rusher and offensive line. When I was going back and doing some research on the Falcons and Arthur Smith, look at how the Titans were built. You know, they were built offensive line. Look at those tackles. Look at the guards. You know, they spent money on guards in free agency and they drafted tackles, you know, first rounders. And I really, really think that's going to be the initial identity of the Falcons too, to get tougher in the trenches. And then, you know, because they've got the skilled position players in place.
Steve, have you ever seen anything like this offseason? I know my partner, Andy, before we had you on, talk about 1999, all the quarterbacks changing teams, but this year it just seems like it's, you're going to see more and more movement amongst quarterbacks. We already had three major moves already. But with the salary cap going down, can you see a lot of these guys moving around for maybe a one-year deal or so?
Yeah. I mean, look, when it comes to quarterbacks, you're going to have a lot of movement just because we're going to have some – you know, look, Philip Rivers retired. Drew Brees is expected to retire. You know, those are some kind of natural things. Then we've got, you know, teams like the Bears and the Patriots who are completely, you know – on wobbly knees when it comes to their quarterback situation. So there's going to be some movement. What's going to be interesting to me is to see what's going to be the initial free agent trade movement. Is it going to be hot and heavy? Or are we going to wait until after the draft to see where some of these quarterbacks may go kind of on a secondary movement scale? You know, what's going to happen with Jameis Winston in New Orleans? You know, is some team going to try to pry him away because the Saints want to try to retain him? So it's going to be, you know, that's going to be real exciting. But overall, the free agency, like you said, Randy, with the cap coming down, there's going to be a lot of one-year deals. You know, this is going to be, hey, let me go here for 1 year. If the cap goes up the following year, I can play myself into a big contract type of thing. So, you know, you're going to see the Patrick Petersons and guys like that of the world, I think, moving all over the place, some real quality players who could really help out a team in the short term on a one-year deal.
Steve Weiss joining us here from the NFL Network, just sort of on that thought, Steve, because it is so unique with the salary cap going to be the way that it is, guys taking those one-year deals potentially. How do you see that sort of playing out? Do you see guys pulling kind of like an NBA thing and teaming up and all going to one place? Or what are some of the unique aspects of this weird offseason that we're about to go through?
You know, that's a great question because I've thought about that. I mean, and you look at how players are on social media, hey, JJ, why don't you come here? You know, why don't you come here? I wouldn't be surprised if there was going to be some groupings where guys are like, okay, it's a one-year thing, but we know X team are two players away. You know, we know the 49ers might be two or three players away from getting there. So let's all go to San Francisco for a year. Or, you know, let's all try to go here for a year. I think you're going to see that in some places. And, you know, the one thing about, you know, if this happens, this is where players can either do that. They can play for a coach they want to play for. They can live in a city they want to live in. They can go back kind of home, you know. So, again, this is going to be intriguing because the players are going to have an awful lot of say in this as well. If they're going to take less money, if they're going to take like a one-year, $4 million deal, that's going to open up their options as well. So I think that question is great, and that's something I'm really, really waiting to see because I think it's going to happen in some situations.
And the crazy thing about that, Steve, is that when we were talking about it, it's like I say it's always good to bet on yourself, but the one thing about football is unforgiving. And, you know, and anything can happen with that betting on yourself, and you can cost yourself down in the future. Well, one last thing for me, Steve, is this, and I've been hearing this a lot lately, the sign and trade. Now, you hear that mostly in football. I mean, sorry, in basketball, but now it's
NBA,
like,
yeah.
In the NBA, now you're hearing more of this in football. Do you see that might be something also because of players maybe want to go somewhere else or teams just trying to remove a team and get maybe a draft pick back for them?
Yeah, it's a little different in the NFL for the way it impacts the salary cap. Mm-hmm. So I don't see that happening that often. I think maybe you see maybe a three-team deal here or there, but maybe not so much a sign and trade. Because, again, with the cap coming down, that's going to limit what some teams can do. And so, maybe it's to appease a player to get him the big deal, and he gets traded to a team with a lot of cap room like Jacksonville. But I just don't know if teams are necessarily going to be that strapped to acquire a player to do something like that. Again, if it happens, it'll be definitely an outlier, more so than something that becomes fairly common.
Steve Weiss joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Final question for you here, Steve. And thanks again for the time today. Great stuff. What gives you confidence that Arthur Smith is the guy?
Well, you know, that's a great question because, you know, we really don't know. We know they were real successful offensively. But I think in talking to people around the NFL, it's just the fact that, one, you know, a lot of teams wanted him. They saw something in him more so than, you know, more the play design than, you know, in terms of leadership and ability to gather. And look, that to me is the most understated thing with all this coaching search. Oh, this guy's got all these offensive accolades and he's coached these MVPs. It is a leader, right? Mm-hmm. I live in Los Angeles and I see what Sean McVay does out here. Great offensive coach, right? But you talk to all of these players, veteran guys who are 35, young guys who are 25, and they will tell you his ability to communicate at every position on every side of the ball to let you know why you're individually doing something, why you're as a position group doing something, and why you're collectively as a team doing something. Guys will run through a wall for him. And it's happened year after year. No matter how many coaches have changed, how many players have changed, he is able to work that. So, you know, those are some of the traits you're hearing about Arthur Smith, the leadership, the communication. And that's so much more important than being an offensive Svengali or, you know, somebody who's had the number five defense for 3 years in a row. It is the communication, the ability to lead, and to sit in front of a small room and a big room. And, Randy, you know this. Yes. And to be able to connect to every player to make him understand his purpose. That goes a long way. Those are some things you hear about Arthur Smith. We'll see. But those are some things that you've heard with him as an OC in Tennessee.
Steve, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Steve Weiss there, reporter, analyst, host, NFL Network, Huddle and Flow podcast, by the way, with Jim Trotter. Follow him on Twitter at Weiss89. We'll come back and get to the Wendy Zone.
Salty
in which
fame!
Wendy will be portraying Danica Patrick. What does it make us? We'll find out next time. Speed on 92.9 The Game. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You're not hungry, you become average.
Brought to you by Hoots Wings. It's time for Hoots Wings lunch hour, chicken wings and other things. Takeout and delivery available online at hootswings.com. Hey, Wendy.
Wendy!
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Wendy.
So I haven't had my Snickers yet today, so maybe this is why I'm sort of all up in my feelings or just a little salty. Or I really feel like I was in Danica Patrick's relationship because I feel these emotions that I didn't know I would feel, and I wasn't in her relationship. So let's just go over a timeline.
Okay.
Danica Patrick dated Aaron Rodgers for 2 years. They broke up. I even did the math. So they broke up. Her publicist announced that they were no longer together July 16th. So let's say they broke up on July 13th. That's approximately 6.5 months ago.
Okay.
So I'm Danica Patrick. I cannot watch TV because I turn on, hey, I want to watch, you know, the NFL award show. And I see my ex-boyfriend, Aaron Rodgers, win the MVP award and make the speech in which he announces that he is engaged. While I'm happy for him and hold no grudges, he's engaged to a girl named Shailene Woodley, who I introduced him to while we were still in a relationship. Hold on. Congratulations. I'm over it. So I sit down in my pajamas last night, and I'm eating ice cream. If I'm Danica Patrick, and, oh, you know what? The Tonight Show's on with Jimmy Fallon. I like The Tonight Show. Let's watch what this has to offer. Shailene Woodley's on The Tonight Show. Hold on. In which she acknowledges the engagement, guys, but as in a very interesting line at the beginning. I'm going to play the entire clip, and we're going to talk about said interesting line that Shailene Woodley, who is now engaged to Danica Patrick's ex, Aaron Rodgers, and we'll discuss after this and where my emotions are coming from.
Yes, we are engaged. We are engaged. But for us, it's not new news, you know? So it's kind of funny. Everybody right now is freaking out over it, and we're like, yeah, we've been engaged for a while.
I love that.
He's, first off, just a wonderful, incredible human being. But I never thought I'd be dating somebody who threw balls for a living. Like, I never, a little girl, I was like, yeah, when I grow up, I'm going to marry someone who throws balls. Yeah.
Are you a football fan?
I've yet to go to a football game. And before I met him, I'd never seen one football game before. When we met, also, like, I knew he was a football guy, but I didn't know, like, what kind of a football guy he was. And I'm still constantly learning. I'm still like, oh, wow. You know, friends would be like, you got to watch his YouTube greatest. Or you got, and I was like, I don't get it. He's good. I don't know him as a football guy. I know him as, like, the nerd who wants to host Jeopardy. You know, like, that's the dude I know.
He loves Jeopardy. I love
he
that.
He just happens to also be very good at sports.
Okay, so the bothersome part's not that she's never been to a football game or watched football, or that she's dating a very good quarterback who's probably also a jerk. It was the line in the beginning where she said, me and Aaron have been engaged for a while. They've right. been dating for 6.5 months. If I'm Danica Patrick, I'm doing in my living room on my couch, eating my ice cream in my pajamas, just sulking because I wasted 2 years of my life. That means they had to get engaged, like, what, after 3 months?
Well, I mean, when we talked about this with Andy a few weeks ago, I said that Danica got, you know, she got Derek Fisher. You know, she got she got Matt Barnes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Your girl came up behind
more
you.
More than Matt Barnes.
But you thought we were all hanging out and everything. And then when you went to the restroom, his hand went on the thigh or something. I mean, that's just how this seems like to me. Now, this is a situation where Danica mm-hmm. won wifey material. Can I say it like that? We look good on the red carpet, but I don't see myself leaving you in my room. You know, something like that, Andy. You know, it just don't seem like...
Randy, explain this to me. How long does it take a guy to realize that?
It depends.
That she ain't wifey material?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he was in a situation where he was battling through that. You know?
Yeah, probably. Because there was probably a lot of things that he thought... You know, obviously that he liked.
Yeah.
If you're in a relationship for 2 years or so, however long it was, 2.5 years, then obviously there's some stuff there that you like. Here's the thing, and this is not, you're probably not going to like this.
But let me hear it. I probably will.
You might like it, Randy. I don't think Wendy's going to like it. Sometimes someone has to come along to make you realize that the person you're with currently is not the right person to be with. And sometimes you have to be with someone for a little while to learn exactly what you don't want.
Exactly.
And
unfortunately,
it seemed like the 2 years he spent with Danica was a real eye opener. It's like,
why did it seem like it was longer than that?
That's exactly what I don't want in a marriage. Yeah. Here's this person that is who I was. It's unfortunate that Danica introduced me to her, but sometimes that's what relationships do. They teach you more about what you don't want.
Danica, You and you and okay, it's all bros, it's all fellas. Do we do? We like you. You think yourself, because I'm not gonna if I'm gonna break up with somebody that I've been in a relationship with, I ain't downgrading. You know what I mean? No, I ain't downgrading. No, I got to go find her. And so I pose this question to you because they both need to eat some biscuits and gravy for me. They're a little on the light side for Randy. But is this an upgrade over Danica?
I don't even know who this person is.
Shane Lee Woodley was from Big Little Lies. She was also in the Divergent series. She played the main character in the Divergent series. So she's a very pretty girl. I mean, but looks a lot like Danica. She's just an actress.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And Danica is a race car driver.
Yeah, maybe Aaron didn't like going to sporting events.
Yeah, maybe he wanted somebody who wasn't
every Sunday.
Yeah, he wanted to be with somebody who doesn't know anything about sports.
Yeah,
obviously.
Which is good because that seemed like that could be a competitive type thing. Like he laying in the bed and she coming rolling to bed. And I'm talking about Danica. You know you should have thrown that out on 3rd and 7. You know, that might be an issue.
Yeah, Danica understood football too much.
You know, and from what I read, she's a big Bears fan, so maybe she was rooting for the Bears one weekend and it got caught on camera.
I don't know why. I could actually visualize Danica Patrick doing that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know that. I don't know nothing about these young ladies. I know Danica's more because of the race car, and I know the other girl because the Life of the American Teenager, I watched that, which was a waste of my time. But at the same time, you know, I mean, everybody ain't wife material. And that's how
it's just one of those things, Randy. Like, when you're in a woman's brain, when your breakup happens, you're always wondering, why? Like, all the time. Just, like, why and the timeline. And then you just keep doing the timeline over and over again. So I'm sure that's what Danica Patrick's doing when she turns on her TV. And when she turns on her TV again in April, hopefully she's not watching Jeopardy because Aaron Rodgers' stint as the host on Jeopardy starts April the 5th. He's doing a 10-show run. So she should just turn her TV off for a while, listen to some tunes.
But Danica don't look like she hurting to find no man. Go get you a French prince or something.
Yeah. Where do you find one of those, Randy?
France.
Kind of French prince.
Yeah.
France or Switzerland.
Go there and get you a prince or something, Danica. Danica.
Do they
Danica,
have?
Danica got too much by herself to be worried sitting over there hurt about Aaron Rodgers. Right?
Plus, Aaron Rodgers kind of seems like he sucks.
He does.
Like, I think Danica Patrick might have dodged a bullet. Sometimes long relationships that end not in marriage is actually a good thing. You would have got divorced in like 8 years.
Man, go get you a regular guy, man. Yeah. Go over to Mako or something. Go get you a dude that's fixing your wheel or something.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
Get a regular Joe. God.
Get your regular
that's
guy,
that's what
man.
You need. Yeah. I think Danica Patrick's better off. Also, that audio from Shailene Woodley sounded horrible. Sounded like having a conversation with her would be difficult. We'll come back. We'll get to the most important audio in the world. Thank you, Wendy. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.